So welcome to the Shake Podcast powered by Trio Solution. We have entered season 5 with a whole new lineup and new guests while still taking a deep dive into all things cannabis, the industry, and the representatives pushing it forward. The Shake Podcast explores new themes every episode within the dynamic cannabis space in North America in an effort to engage a wide audience and provide full coverage across issues and opportunities of interest to our listeners. And we broadcast on a weekly basis anywhere you stream your podcast on any platform that you love or directly from Apple. It is whatever's easiest for you. What seems to be incredibly difficult and challenging in today's cannabis world is branding and understanding the consumers and how to stand out in a crowd, which can be next to impossible. And that's why we have you covered. Check out our sponsor, Detonate Cannabis Agency. If you're looking for print, collateral, or maybe you're a retailer looking for a fresh look or need, contact the helpful reps at www.detonatecannabis.com and they will take care of all your needs. Today we have the unique pleasure and opportunity of chatting with Keenan Pascal, founder and CEO of Token Naturals. Thank you for joining us on The Shake. How are you doing and where are you joining us from today?
Thanks for having us and having me, and I'm joining you from Edmonton, Alberta.
How have you been despite the current climate? You know, it's changed the way business functions and even the ability to operate. How's the team and yourself at Token Naturals embraced the current climate?
It was definitely, there's challenges to the transition. But our company was in a unique situation where we were big enough to kind of like weather the storm and kind of small enough to continue to move forward. So, when the pandemic hit, we had to shut down. We had team members that already worked remotely and we've always been pretty chilled in terms of corporate culture of how we do things. So we moved to remote working very easily. That wasn't a stress at all. And then we were in the middle of constructing our facility. So construction was deemed essential service, so we were able to continue construction, and then it really just kind of gave us the time to like sit down, take a breath, breathe. So we found some positivity in the whole pandemic, but in the midst of all the negativity, but overall we pulled through and we came out on the other end.
You know, if we talk about breathing, right, I saw something really interesting your team has taken on. You know, to be able to stay connected with your base, you guys are hosting VR yoga events with Sounds, Vibes, and Yegg. How did that come about, and how has that been received?
Oh, they've been amazing. Our community manager, Rochelle, she's got a lot of great ideas. And over COVID, a lot of us were kind of just looking at, okay, we're by ourselves or, just with our significant others in the house. And yoga and just online workouts were just something we all kind of were just chatting about doing. Mm-hmm. And then Rochelle had a great idea of like, let's launch some yoga-based or cannabis-based yoga connections. Mm-hmm. And we fired off our first one a couple months ago. I think we're going to do them pretty regularly now, at least like once a quarter, because it was very well received. People seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah. And, before we take a deep dive into Token Naturals, it's incredibly important for our listeners to get to know you a bit better. In order for us to do that, really, we were hoping that you can give us a brief introduction of yourself and a bit about your past education and industry experience before you got into the cannabis industry.
Yeah, no, I definitely had a diverse background. I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta. My dad's from Dominica in the Caribbean. My mom's from like a farm out here, so I had a fun upbringing of like the island and the farm life. And then born and raised in Edmonton, got into banking after I did my undergrad at University of Alberta, kind of climbed the corporate ladder there, went and did an MBA, and that's where I kind of crossed paths with my chemical engineer founder, Cam. Mm-hmm. And we continued to kind of grow the business there, but between kind of the college and banking stuff, I was like, I had a lot of weird, odd jobs. I bartended and a bouncer for a long time, probably like 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of my best connections in terms of like doing the business community now, like having that skill set. We always like look for, we're hiring on that sales side, people who've worked in hospitality. I think that's a great asset to have. So yeah, a lot of hospitality. And then my business partner, Jamie, owned a bar for like 12 years. So that was how we connected, was through the industry of the bar scene and the cocktail scene here. Mm-hmm. And then on the cannabis side, yeah, I was always been a user for, since college, just kind of casually enjoying the plant. And then as I kind of got older and through university, that's when Cam really kind of got us on the 2.0 products, like the beverages, the edibles. And I was just like, that kind of really started to replace alcohol for me. And it pleasure of just not having a hangover, especially as you get older. My hangovers now are like 3-day experiences.
Would you say that that was your aha moment that really kind of pushed you to take that leap into the cannabis industry and create Token Naturals?
Oh yeah, like Cam convincing me like cannabis is going to be a thing. I remember it specifically. We're all in my apartment in Vancouver, and he gave us these like little cocktail concoctions that he was whipping together with like elderflower and all these unique herbs, and they were amazing. They tasted great, but there's four buddies, and we're playing Mario Kart, and I remember I laughed for like 4 hours. I was driving into a wall. It was hilarious. And like, I remember I laughed myself to sleep. I had this one buddy, Jamie McAllister, who just wanted like have that dry humor that you love.
Yeah.
He's just making us laugh. And I like passed out in my couch, just having a great night with the guys. Everyone left, and I woke up the next morning at like 6, 7 a.m. went and did a workout, and I was like, this is great. Like, I had as much fun as I would have if I was, you know, just doing shots with the guys at a bar. And it was a different social setting. It was funner, it was more intimate on that side, and then no hangover. And that was like, you know, this is something I could do regularly. So that was like 2014. And then now, yeah, it's just, I'm a big fan of the whole space and what it kind of do for opening doors.
So you had that moment, you know, that pivotal moment where you went to sleep laughing, you woke up and you're feeling great. There's no kind of hangover, and you've now got this light bulb going, I got to be in the industry. Give us a high level summary of what you've created at Token Naturals today.
Yeah, so high level, Token Naturals is a manufacturing arm in cannabis. So what we do is we will white label products for different LPs or people trying to get into the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. And we really tried to position this as like a community building asset. So if you have an idea, or if you have a brand, or you have an innovation that you want to explore, we want to help you bring that product to market. So we'll have token branded products. We're introducing some drink additives because I can get into that story too, but we have a bitters company that we use to kind of test our business acumen, which is a fun exercise. But at the end of the day, we'll have a small line of token products that are designed to kind of build off our bitters concept. Mm-hmm. And then the rest is, yeah, helping the community bring products to market, because I think the way it became very systematic in terms of barriers and how hard it was to launch a cannabis product in Canada, there's a lot of work to do, and a lot of people had to work hard to get to that space, and we think it should be easier, and we can be that bridge.
You know, last year, Token Naturals experienced a surge in growth. In order for that to happen, it really meant that you guys had to have a strong team around you. You've talked a little bit about the experience that exists there, but can you talk a little bit more about the individuals that are around you that are helping bring all of these different amazing areas to the forefront?
Oh yeah, no, our staff, like we started with 3 people, then went to 6, now we're sitting around 15, and everybody just brings their own unique asset to the company. And I think in terms of expertise, we've been able to really grow with the industry. I think that was something that was very unique about Token, is we've hired people that came not just from the industry, but from outside the industry, and we've stuck through it with them. Mm-hmm. So we've had our food scientists, like we work a lot with the universities here locally, like U of A and then also UBC. Mm-hmm. So we'll take like an intern in. So we had these one food scientist come through, and he's grown with the industry. Like when he started, he never even, you know, tried cannabis, and then now it's, you know, 4 years later, and he's coming up with all these amazing innovative ways to consume and change and formulation. So we put a lot of time and effort into like the R&D side of things. Mm-hmm. Operations, we took our facility director Chad, he was actually building another cannabis facility here locally, and we met him through kind of consulting and just different projects. And he was like, you know what? I really like your company vibe. I can save you my salary. I'll even take a pay cut to come and join your company and grow. So he was like, you know, one of the first big hires in the company and literally built our facility. And then we put a lot of time and effort into the PR, the marketing side. So like Carla, and then we had a staff member, Lauren, and who's now in the States. And then Rochelle, like all those people have added so much to the company in terms of telling our story. And I think that's another thing that really helped shape Token into what it is now, is we're now always out there in the community, engaging, telling our story. So the team we've built is just top notch.
You know, today there are so many different entry points in the market. You know, at times for newer brands, it really is hard to establish a profile that emulates what consumers want. Outside of fostering the progression of individuals within your company, I was wondering, you know, what separates Token Naturals from others within the space that are also offering something similar to what you guys are doing?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think it's always evolving. I think the industries, we're so, kind of, the legal market is very new, in the sense that we've got to always kind of evolve and see what works for the customers, what works for the like our B2B clients. So what makes us unique is we've tried to make it as transparent and collaborative as possible. So when you come to us with, hey, I want to do an MCT oil, I want to do a topical, I want to do, you know, a vape or whatever product you want, it's not a matter of us kind of, you know, trying to sell you this feature or this. Like, we'll give you a catalog, essentially being like, hey, this is from our experience and all the connections we've had grown over the last 5 years is ABC, pick one. This is the most efficient way to do it. Here's XYZ package. Here's XYZ label. Mm-hmm. Here's the formulation you can do. And it's very transparent. Mm-hmm. And then the way we price it is like, we're not making money off of, like, if we're like, hey, use this company for your labels, because we do all our labeling from them. We're not marking up that company's services. Same with like the distillate, like that. You want to work with this particular grower, or you are looking for this particular strain, we'll go and find that grower, that strain for you. We'll bring it in, and that's there's no markup on there. We make our money through the actual, like, the tolling service and like the splits, the profit when we go into the actual bring the product to market. So we try to make it as least in terms of complexity, like we try to make it simple and then have transparency.
So outside of having transparency and really making the process simple for really any company to be able to partner with you guys, you've also abided by a green ethos, limiting your waste footprint. Can you talk about the importance of saving energy, waste diversion, and reusing materials?
For us, like, we're still very early stage in our sustainability quest. I think there's still a lot more we can do. But as we were, you know, buying our, most of it went into like the construction side of things. So like our HVAC, like efficiencies on that, we really built our facility like Lego blocks, mm-hmm. so we could add as we needed. And so we didn't just build all at once and just kind of, here's the plan, let's jam it down kind of the our fate's throat. Mm-hmm. We're gonna build it with some like long-term engineering and planning. So for us, like, the sustainability started with our build out and our footprint and how efficient we built every room, mm-hmm. and then we can add on to the rooms. And then for us, like, we do try to find, you know, packaging services, and it is very limited in the space because you have a lot of compliance and Health Canada oversight on that. But I think it's getting better. So we're always trying to stay up to date on like the packaging that we can offer our clients, and same with the input materials. Like, we like to source locally at the hop, and then we'll expand as we grow. Or if, you know, there's an amazing strain of out east, we'll definitely go grab it. But at the same time, you know, we try to support local, and that really started with our bitters company using local ingredients, and just that theme has always been ingrained in the company. So we'll continue to follow it.
Talk a little bit more about the bitters company. You know, you're talking about community. You talked a little bit about how there was a test approach there. Are you able to share a little bit more about that?
Oh yeah, yeah. The bitters was one of those things that just it turned into its own beast. So the bitters started originally where we raised a little bit of capital. So mostly Jamie was like the vodka sodas that got sold in Edmonton, Alberta, was funding Token. So thanks for all the drinks. And what essentially what was happening was we just had a small pool of cash. So we knew that, you know, if we want to come and compete with the big LPs, you need to raise millions of dollars. And that just wasn't our skill set yet. We did eventually raise millions of dollars, but at the end of the day, when we first started, we're like, hey, we got to prove, because, you know, we're kind of nobodies in the big scheme of things, that we could execute. So essentially what happened was Cam was like, hey, let's look at another product that's easier to get into, more niche, mm-hmm. you take some risks. And he came up with bitters. So bitters became our kind of like flagship to show investors like, hey, we can launch a product. And the other unique thing is the extraction of bitters is the exact same for cannabis. Like, we're using ethanol essentially as a bath in certain cannabis extractions. So ethanol is the main kind of extraction technique in bitter. So we just literally take plant materials and are like, for example, an orange is like peppercorn and orange peels. So we put it in moonshine from the distillery, which is like just an ethanol. Mm-hmm. Distill it, and we make these products. And so what happened first was, like, we didn't know anybody in the liquor space. So we just started giving it to bartenders because that's where our connections were. Mm-hmm. And our bartenders started putting them on the shelves and using it in products. And people were like, oh, how do I make this drink at home? Like, oh, you gotta get token bitters. And then people started asking it for the liquor stores. And then all of a sudden we go from working this literally out of my garage and ruining my blenders and my fiance getting mad at us making a mess to Alcana and the big liquor depots want thousands of bottles. So we had to ramp up quickly. And Edmonton's a nice place in terms of you can kind of pick up the phone and call other businesses. So we could call some distilleries here, got some contract manufacturing, and that helped us understand how contract manufacturing worked for when we got into cannabis. And then we just kind of grew from there. So within
it really provided the framework, I guess you can say, because what you guys have done is taken a lot of that process and now replicated and pivoted into the cannabis industry.
Yeah, exactly. It was like one of those things where, especially making mistakes, like we made mm-hmm. so many mistakes, like ordering bottles and like your boxes and like how to do your case orders, like all these things you don't know until you try. And here we got to try on a small scale where we could make mistakes on labels and it cost us like $600 versus, you know, you make a mistake on a label for Health Canada and it's thousands of dollars on a recall. So it was a nice place to get our feet wet, and it gave us a lot of community engagement because it also was somewhere we could go where cannabis couldn't. So we could do farmers markets, we could you know, go into restaurants. So it was another marketing tool, and eventually the company became the biggest bitters company in Alberta. We ship internationally, and then we got into Japan, which is another cool experience. And
something that you talk a lot about is working with local, you know, the community, just having an emphasis on being there, working with the community, being immersed with the community. And something that you guys emphasize on your website is being 100% Canadian owned and operated, and it's for Canadians. Can you talk about the importance of this messaging a little bit more?
Yeah, I think, you know, having that local vibe is just, it's just critical to our company, our brand. Like, we definitely have international dreams in terms of like expansions and where we'll go eventually with the company, but the roots are always going to be based, you know, at home. It's Canadian owned. When we needed to rally our funds, like, it wasn't big VCs and private equity groups. Eventually we kind of got there at the end, but it started just, you know, friends and family and like that we locally knew that we're building our network. And then even if it wasn't an investment side of things, it was like, hey, we'll support you by giving you this intro, or we'll help you know, connect you with this business. And it just continued to grow where the community really kind of rallied around us, especially here in Edmonton, open more and more doors. And then our success just kind of built on the shoulders of other people. And it's now, you know, we found that very important. So giving back in terms of like internships, mm-hmm. connections, mentorship, like it's just part of the company as a whole.
Now, you've talked a little bit about aspirations for the future. In the future, is there a chance for Token Naturals to shift into the U.S. global landscape?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a focus of us as we've kind of work with our partners. So a lot of it's going to be what brands want to expand into. Mm-hmm. So we really want to be that hub. It's like, hey, you want to manufacture in Canada? We'll do that here. We'll be competitive. We'll innovative. We'll check all those boxes. But as we expand, like, yeah, we do have the intention of using our processing license that's federally allowed to export to export. So it's just going to be part of the growth strategy. But we're first and foremost, like, kind of a crawl, walk, run company, where mm-hmm. we definitely want to own the backyard, understand it, then do the next phase, and then do the next phase. Because I think we're going to be around for a while, so it'll be a nice journey.
If we talk about owning your backyard, you know, as we discussed, Token Naturals creates custom extractions for any company, specializing in the science of extraction and open to new partnerships. I understand the reason you've been able to champion this space is through your personal brand experience and past experiences. Can you talk a little bit more about the Token Natural branded products and consumer line?
Yeah, for sure. So that was an evolution of extraction. So it started in bitters. We did a lot of research with local engineers on cannabis extraction. So we're looking, like, our main workhorse once that phase of the building's turned on will be the like a cryoethanol extraction. But to start, it's bringing in distillate from our partners, and our first Token branded products will be called Favor by Token. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a play on like the nature of the company. And it's a drink additive. So there'll be a version eventually that'll be shots, and we're probably most likely gonna start with just like a metered dose. So it'd just be something you could add to your beverages. You could add it to your tea, you could add it to your food. It's just, you know, a couple milligrams per drop or whatever the ratio ends up being as we work out the pricing with AGLC was optimal. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's gonna be an additive, and it really kind of plays back to that moment where I was playing Mario Kart in the condo, yeah, where now I could just recreate that nightly with my friends by adding this product to our, you know, our sodas and have that same experience.
You know, we're talking about these infused moments that Token Naturals is going to be bringing to the future. You're also building brands outside of Token Natural. With the current landscape making it challenging for marketing, are there any technology or data points that you specifically leverage to better understand and provide these full circle solutions?
Yeah, I think the markets, there's definitely, you can collect data from, there's a lot of sources that you can tap into, like the BDS and Headset and all those great companies. But for us, a lot of it's again, kind of going back, not to sound like a broken record, but like just connect with the community, go talk to the budtenders, go talk to the consumers that come in and out of the stores every day and are growing this business and the innovative products. Like there's a lot of great like ideas and brands and topicals that have existed in, you know, kind of that gray market that are looking to come into the legal market. Like we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. It's going to be, you know, there's probably some, you know, lady or guy out there that just absolute amazing product that we can help bring to the market. That's what our dream is. Like we'll work with you to do that. But a lot of our data points come from, you know, you take that broad research and you see the trends and you see what we look at the states a lot to kind of put our high level thinking on. Mm-hmm. And then we narrow it down and down and down until you essentially you're walking into the store and asking like, hey, do you think this product would work well? Do you find a need for it, or is it what is everyone asking for right now?
So the reason why I asked is because, as I understand, there are opportunities to invest within Token Natural. Why do you believe Token Natural is a well-timed and carefully planned out venture?
Yeah, so we just closed an A round, and then eventually in the next one we'll do a B round. But I think what sets us apart is we put a lot of time and effort into like the governance side of the business, and then had a lot of checks and balances, which helped us be lean. So we were lean and agile as opposed to kind of just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticked. So for us, in terms of the investment, the way we raise capital is very strategic on who we brought in as investors. And we definitely tried to keep the investment diversity is really important to us. So we have a lot of female investors, people of color. Like I think 67% of the company is owned by, like, not just me, but like the investors on top of my ownership is people of color and females, which is something we're very proud of. So on the investment side, it was a matter of, you know, we got to learn from all the people who went before us and, you know, had a lot more widespread budgets. And now we can kind of narrow in, instead of being very vertically integrated, we can say, hey, like focusing on manufacturing, and we feel there's growth in this area out of this investment, where other alternatives on investment were, you know, more broad, and they definitely, you know, had their wins and their losses. So you can kind of pick and choose. But at the end of the day, I think we're a very focused investment, mm-hmm, on kind of the growth of the industry. So as the industry grows, there's more players, our kind of rising tide floats all boat mentality, it helps us, as opposed to having to go head to head with some of the big guys where, you know, we obviously would not be able to compete in certain areas.
You know, we're talking about the growth of the industry. Can you give us a little bit of a better understanding about the long-term strategy of Token Naturals?
Yeah, for us, it's a growth of the capacity. So our, you know, the next round of investment, the next build out, the phase is really when we hit that trigger where phase one's capacity is hitting its limits, we open up the doors to number two. So for our growth, it's really seeing, okay, what are the new products that are coming out of the kind of the 2.0, and what's 3.0 look like? And can we design a space that's going to optimize and build out that efficiencies for our customers? So instead of you having to, you know, you say you want a beverage line and you're thinking you've got the next great beverage idea. For us, like, we don't have right now the beverage bottling capabilities in-house, but if that's something where we see the markets coming, mm-hmm. yeah, now we're going to put a lot of money into building that beverage line. But, you know, if topicals becomes the next big thing and we just need to pump out more topical space, that's what we build out. That's why as I was mentioning before, where we built our facility like Lego blocks, mm-hmm. continue to add. So we have right now about 6,000 square feet. We can add another 10,000 square feet immediately. Like, it's all framed out, ready to go, the mechanical, all that's in. And then we have an additional 8,000 square feet to grow into in the building. And then the lot we bought was, it's 60,000 square feet. So we can put another like 12,000 square foot building on it. So we have a lot of room to expand. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's just getting excited about what 2.0 and 3.0 looks like. For example, if CBD becomes deregulated and now you can, you know, treat it like in the US where you can put CBD in most products and sell it instead of through a dispensary, through like more of a natural health stores, that's going to be a massive market for us. Mm-hmm. And that's where we can start, you know, now we just start infusing more health products and going from there. So yeah, that's what like keeps me excited.
So we've talked a little bit about the future. If we take a step back and look at everything that's happened, you know, the Deloitte partnership and Token Naturals allowed you guys to submit an evidence package to Health Canada. That was a pivotal moment. You guys created a space that's in accordance with Health Canada, you know, and you've also talked about some of the ups and downs. Can you talk about one major milestone that sticks out to you since starting Token Naturals?
Yeah, there's lots. Like I think the licensing journey in itself has been, you know, probably the biggest in terms of just ups and downs. So we put our first license application in through the ACMPR system in 2017. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, you know, we've got a long way to go. It's going to take a long time. You hear all these crazy horror stories and all this uncertainty in the market. So that's where we kind of pivoted. We did other things. We owned some retail shops and sold them, and we kept going on the licensing path. And then we, you know, get the team security cleared, and then we finished the build out. So probably the big milestones for us was submitting that evidence package, and then we just recently had a first request for information returned back to Health Canada. So they ask you, you know, just kind of clarifying questions. And it was nice working with Deloitte and some of the consultants there, that the questions were very easy for us to respond to. So it just, you know, we're hopefully a couple of weeks away from getting that final processing license where we can literally put our first cannabis products together the next day. And that's the exciting milestone for us. So I wouldn't say my favorite one's happened yet. My favorite one's going to be the final license, but we're right there.
So last year, you know, you accomplished quite a lot. I think that might be a little bit of an understatement, but you know, the topic that's at the forefront and the center within every industry right now is a discussion around diversity within the workplace and industry. Earlier this year, alongside other Black cannabis entrepreneurs, you joined to form Black Canadians in Cannabis Working Group. Why is fostering that conversation, having a platform to support, is really vital to the progression of the industry and more importantly to colored people attached to it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think a lot of people did see that kind of underlying problems get surfaced, especially during the Black Lives Matter movement. And what my experience, I'll just tell you the story from the beginning. Essentially, I had enough, you know, connections in the industry where people kind of knew of me, or we crossed paths at a conference, and a lot of times I'm like the only Black guy in the room, mm-hmm. in the executive side. So what would happen was Black Lives Matter, everyone's, you know, doing all the great, you know, conversations are starting to happen, and then people are like, okay, well, where's the Black CEOs in cannabis? Mm-hmm. And so everyone looked at me and I was like, I actually don't know. I'm sure there's tons of great Black entrepreneurs out there. I just don't know where they are. So I put a LinkedIn message out, and yeah, we got like 30, 50 people that kind of put their hands up, being in different spaces, different realms, different parts of their career. And so the conversation just kind of organically happened, where we had some great people start to step up into like kind of the leadership of the group. And we've had a couple of meetings now, and it's very grassroots at this point, but there's our network, but then there's also other great alliances already in the cannabis space. And I think what's the most important part of this is the diversity in cannabis at the beginning was very, like, you could go into a conference and you'd see, you know, just every walk of life. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, people realize, hey, you need bankroll to kind of get into this space because of the way it's structured, in terms of you have to build out your building first, you have to, you know, hire all these professionals, your consultants, yada, yada, yada. And it really started removing kind of the diversity out of the market, where it's just like the people who own the cash are the people who kind of run the industry. So it was interesting to see that these call to actions happened. And it, I think it was positive, and it happened early enough in the, like, by no means is the industry finished in terms of like what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So I think it happened early enough where people were like, oh, we can put some effort in right now to make sure diversity is, you know, part of cannabis, as opposed to, you know, some other industries where it's like, it's going to be very hard for diversity to kind of rise to the top.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've taken on a lot, and you also have an entire team and company that relies on you. For others that are following in your footsteps, what advice would you offer to staying balanced and positive?
To stay balanced and positive, I would definitely look at, like, not taking it all on your shoulders. So it sounds like, as I tell these stories, like, it sounds like there's, you know, there's a crazy amount of stuff that I do, which it's not me by myself. Like, I have, you know, the team that supports me, but then I have advisors, mentors, like, just that friend group that really kind of props you up. So I think the biggest thing I always tell young entrepreneurs is, like, go out and ask for help. Like, if something's becoming overwhelming, or if you're seeing a roadblock and it's stressing you out, pick up the phone and call someone in your network, or call someone outside of your network. And most 9 out of 10 times, I feel people are friendly enough that they'll, you know, at least help or point you in the right direction. Or so for me, I'm like, don't be afraid to ask for help. And that's where you can start realizing, like, hey, that little stone that I thought was a massive boulder is just a little pebble compared to in this guy's experience. And he's going to tell me how to move that off my road. And I think that's where people kind of get caught up, and it sounds like I'm doing crazy things, but there's lots of support behind me, and you have to ask for it.
That's incredible advice. We really appreciate you coming on the Shake Podcast today. But before we let you go, we like to ask all of our guests one last question. Is there a piece of technology or a book or even a past experience that has helped shape who you are today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think maybe just because it's like top of mind, but there's this book, like Checklist Manifesto, and like the books about habit building I found have been very influential, especially over COVID, where you kind of had that time to, like, you're stuck at home. So, like, what do you kind of, how do you build routine when you don't have a work environment to go in and out of? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the biggest things is, like, yeah, read up on like kind of habit building, routine building through, you know, Atomic Habits or Checklist Manifesto or some of those books, where you put some structure. But I'm the kind of freewheeling guy, so I thought, oh, like, structure was gonna like ruin my kind of flow. But I found that as I have, like, you know, morning routines or end of work routines and things like that, I have more freedom because I get done what I want in a checklist. Mm-hmm. So I think those are kind of, it's definitely over the last year I've been taking in a lot of these kind of books and reading a lot on that, and I think it's elevated my game to a whole other level. So that would be my recommendation.
We want to give a huge thank you to Keenan Pascal for joining the Shake Podcast presented by Treehouse Solutions. We also want to thank our loyal Shake listeners for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. You can join the discussion or drop us a line at www.treehousesolutions.com and on Instagram at the Shake Podcast. Please also check out our parent Instagram at Trio Solution. And if you're a huge sports fan and love cannabis or everything in between, we have you covered. Check out our latest channel at Sports Cannabis on Instagram. If you're on Twitter, follow us at THS_audio. Be sure to look out for our next episode when we chat with another industry leading representative. We hope you enjoyed our session. Stay tuned for our next podcast.